Some things placed upon my heart and my mind, and I ask an interest in your prayers, and some things that I had put together and put on some slides for us to take a look at. And we know that very, very valuable unto the Lord that He has created. You know, He created His people, and when He created, you know, the people that have accepted Him, when He created, it was in the hearts and the minds of those to follow. And He created His guidance, His laws, and He has a people. And we know that as we read through the Old Testament, you know, He had a people that He led and He protected and He guided. He had to chasten from time to time. He made promises, He made covenants to them, and they were His people. And the God of Israel was reign and might and glory and justice and mercy and all those things. They were His people. And we know that they are yet His people today, but we find that most importantly and written in stone is the body of Christ. And because of our Savior Jesus Christ, who was the representation of the Father coming to earth and to die for our sins, die for our opportunity, and die for that for your opportunity to make a choice in order to live for Him and to be within the body of Christ, to be one of His children. And we know how important that is. And just as today, that it is, there's no mistake that there are congregations that are created and that we meet upon a day of worship. And we find even an example throughout the Scriptures that they met upon the Lord's Day, the day of His resurrection, being very significant. And so we meet on that day yet today. And what is very paramount and very that it is for the nurturing of the body of Christ. And where there are even gifts and blessings and comfort, direction, and yes, possibly correction to the body of Christ, and members in particular. We find that the Apostle Paul, he had spoken when he wrote many of his letters. They were to groups of saints. They were to locals. They were to peoples that he wrote to the saints that were at Colossae, to those at Ephesus. He was charging a young pastor by the name of Timothy about many things, charging, giving him the best that he knew, his young son in the faith, in order to be able to help that body of Christ that he was going to be leading. And tell him to depend. Most important piece of advice that Paul could give to Timothy was to depend upon the way of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord expressed through His Spirit and His presence in order to be able to guide and shape and mold His people in the image of Christ. You hear this day a representation of the body of Christ and members in particular. You know, and I think about, and as we're going to be reading the Scriptures, that will also relate and manifest how each of you have brought this day something to contribute in order to that which was called worship, to our spiritual experience. Yeah, that's very true, very important. We've all brought something here within an expectation of how it is that God is going to manifest Himself to you. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I shall be in their midst. And how true that is. And so when we come to church, it is something that we think about thoughtfully, reverently, prayerfully, about our time and experience one with another in the body of Christ, that which is called worship, when it's put together, that which is called worship. And there are things we look at in the Scripture that we will be looking at that will help us, that when matters arise, good, bad, or indifferent situations need to be handled, that when we handle them in a Christ-like manner, and Jesus talked about many of these different types of things, and I'm sure that we can't cover them all, being such a variety, and people being different as well. Each of us being different, but when we handle them in a Christ-like manner, we grow. We grow together. We mature together in Jesus Christ. We can become more spiritually stronger. And yes, we are arming ourselves, as Paul told the Ephesians. We are arming ourselves with the armor of Christ. And so, I'd like to take a look at some of these things with you. And like I said, there are just maybe a small representation, but there are many in the Scriptures, and many more to do, even with the subjects that we're going to talk about. As we're looking at here, that I believe this is the Alundi congregation, Brother Joseph Aluko, and four congregations in Nigeria. And we find that in different cultures, there are different mannerisms, the different language, of course. Their language, I believe, was called Yoruba. And I know they have a love for one another, but when they had a conversation, one with another, discussing something, you'd think that they were in a full-blown argument. But just the style and mannerism of their and of the things, how they would accomplish certain things. Certain things they would worry about, certain things they wouldn't worry about. And of course, but certain things when we were there with them, and we would notice and try to point out to them, you know, you better work on this, or you may want to work on that. Of course, one real temporal thing that comes to my mind was the structure that they had was leaning. Like I said, you know, a couple of the good strong men from this congregation better get on one side of it, straighten it up, put some poles there, or it will come down. From what I understand, that it did come down later on. But the Lord's blessing was there was no one underneath it. And so it's each of you that are helping holding up the pillars of this church. It's each of you that are contributing to the strength of the pillars of this church yet today. And it's one thing that we know that you all joined together to try to put up these four walls, or however many walls there are here. And all the things that are taking place within this congregation, but it's you that are holding up spiritually as the power and might and spirit of the Lord is moving his congregation. How important that is. How each of us prayerfully and reverently come to this place called our worship in Jesus Christ. We find it, if you would turn with me over in the book of Moroni in the sixth chapter, I'd like to read verses 6 and 9. Someone changed my comma to a slash there in grammatical. That's okay. I intended 6 and 9. That's okay. And we find something very important, and that when we adhere to certain principles in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we adhere to certain principles, that the matters that come upon us, if we adhere to these first basic ones, that we can handle these others in a very wise, spiritual, mature way. All of us, if we remember the basics of the gospel of Christ, and first of all, talking of the church, as we find that these first chapters of the book of Moroni were given by Jesus Christ when he was upon the earth, and they're actually listing them here to the formulation of the New Testament church, the certain duties and things that went on in the church, certain things that people that would repent and how they were baptized, how they received the Holy Spirit, how they were partake of the sacrament, even to the sacrament prayer. And we have many things contained in here that's very valuable reading. Of course, it all is. But in verse 6, it says, "And the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Actually, I'll read right on through. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them. Whoso was found to commit an iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders. And if they repented not, confessed not, their names were blotted out. They were not numbered among the people of Christ. But as often as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And we find how important that is. And we depend upon that forgiveness in all shape, all forms of however it is that it's caused us to depart from the Spirit of Christ in that way. That thing called maybe sin or transgression or whatever the matter or offense. But the main thing was that they met to fast and pray. And this is where we find the charging of ourselves spiritually. Very simple things and remembrance in Jesus Christ by way of the sacrament. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. See how important that is, even yet, to sing. And we know that there are different representations even of singing. And we've heard their type of singing even in Africa. We've heard some of their singing in Nigeria. Some of their singing in India. And even to them, to hear our singing over here might sound a little peculiar side, especially if they hear mine. And but you know what the main thing is, you know, is but the prophet Samuel, he said, the Lord looketh upon the heart. And I believe that our thoughts and intents of the heart as we're lifting up our praises unto God is what's very valuable. And so we find what things are take place in the body of Christ and recipe of worship, the workings of the Spirit. And it depends upon our condition, how the Spirit can move within our congregation, within our hearts and minds. So it is how it is that we have come here, prayerfully, reverently, intently seeking the Lord, each of us, for that worship, that experience called worship. And so as these foundational these rules he's talking about, if you will. I know that many people hate the word rule. It's almost like a four-letter word to some people. But we know that rules can bring structure, and structure can bring substance to our life, and especially in Jesus Christ, His laws, His commandments is what bear fruit among people's lives and in congregations. And so if you would, please, turn with me over to Ephesians in the 2nd chapter, in the 18th verse. Ephesians, 2nd chapter, and 18th verse. And it's talking about Jesus Christ being our avenue and breaking that middle wall of partition in the past part of this chapter. And through Him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Holy Spirit. Now, we can't say that there are more than one Holy Spirit. There's not more than one Spirit sent forth of the Lord to manifest in these things. Now, yes, we know He has His ministering spirits of like a flame of fire, so the angels, but the prevailing Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Father and the Son, it is also known as the Comforter, or the witness of Christ. Nephi experienced in his vision when he wanted to see the same thing his father saw, and that he said it was the Spirit of the Lord that was his guide. It was that Holy Spirit, he said, but yet he was in the form of a man. Interesting, isn't it? You find that in a couple of different references there too. But regardless, it is that which prevails upon us spiritually to move and to teach and to lead and to encourage, to give you words like He told His apostles when He sent them out. Don't take scrip nor purse. I will bring back all things to your remembrance. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I believe it's also talking about the body of Christ here. All of it very intricate and very, as he says, fitly framed together. This fits into his holy temple of the Lord. You being representatives of his temples that he has moved upon and are filled with the Holy Ghost. It depends upon our condition and how the Lord can move upon your heart and your mind to lead, to teach, and comfort, and to direct. A habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that powerful? And isn't that precious that you have a habitation of God through the Spirit? It's something very powerful to think about, and very moving, I think. I would like to turn back into the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. Once again, I'd like to start reading some verses about things to be handled in the body of Christ, especially. And this is not being, now the formation of the lesson is not prejudice against others outside the body of Christ. It is building the fire formation and maturing in the body of Christ that we may know better how to strengthen ourselves to reach out to others and be a light set upon the hill and not hid under a bushel. It is how we learn this day, and we pick up the tools to go out into the missionary field, which is outside those two doors right there. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, And we should have a devout love one for another, preferring one another. But we are developing, and once again, we are strengthening in the love of Christ, and in the power and knowledge in Jesus Christ. We may know how better to reach out and to help to minister to the needs of others. They may also want to seek this Jesus Christ. God appreciates and loves his children. And we're reading something very powerful and yet very, very sad in our Sunday school. And as we're talking about in the book of Revelations, that those judgments are going to come upon the world, we're going to be coming upon, especially upon the ungodly. There are going to be judgments upon those for rejecting the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we found that there were those that were going to be sifted out of the world, and they were going to be protected, and they were going to be blessed, and they were going to be adorned with white robes. And there were those that were going to be before the throne, they were going to be saved. And he says, and he's going to wipe all tears from their eyes. And there are others that hadn't accepted Christ, and they will want the rocks to hide them. And you don't have to depart into outer darkness. There should be weeping and wailing. There shall be no one to wipe the tears from their eyes, nor to quench their thirst. We see such a difference, don't we? There are those, not because the Lord desired for them to be there, or to face those punishments. The Lord would not have to face to punish his children, but those because of choice, not to desire Christ. It's those of the household of faith. Look with me, if you will, please, in Romans in the 12th chapter. And we have one verse I'd like to read here. be kindly, affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And how is that? As the Spirit would move in order to be kindly one to another. Or sometimes when we have something we want to say, we'd rather hear something somebody else has to say, or if the choice is to be made, that someone else has their choice, or if someone is should be others taking the lead in different matters, and so on and so forth. That preferring one another and showing this kindly one to another in the way that we may do things. And this is something definitely to be paid attention to as we look at other matters that are yet to come in our study this day. The things that I'm that we're looking at right now are very powerful and very important in how it is that we would take care of matters within the body of Christ, preferring one another and kindly one to another. Let's look, if you will, over in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. I'd like to read verses 1 through 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's notice something here for a minute. Why are we here this day? What is it that's drawing you here this day? Well, by one man. Now, we know that maybe a lot of us are related one to another, a good share of us. And yet, but why is it that you are here? One by choice, the other by Jesus. The most importantly, that choice is in Jesus Christ. Why is it you believe enough that you have made the decision and the consecration to come to the house of worship on this day to be with your brothers and sisters, to listen to the message, or to study, or to pray, or to supplicate, or to sing? But by the Holy Ghost, as He manifests this day in this Word. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, there's different gifts to different peoples, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Main thing is different. Not everyone has all the same gifts of so are some, and He's going to talk about that. The manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit thereof. For one is given by the Spirit of word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Who will? God will. Severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, but are one body, and so is Christ. So we find that we are different bodies and different gifts and divided individually, but we're members of that body, and we're members of the body of Christ here this day, as he just said. And so also is Christ. We're one body in Christ. And Do we pray and do we make a manner of prayer that we may see some and more of many of these gifts? I've seen many of these gifts in this congregation. I have witnessed many of these in this congregation. So have you. We would like maybe to excel. We trust that the Lord is working among us, and we've seen that manifestation. Once again, not to all people, not at all times, but severally, as He will. But do we pray that it may be made more manifest, that maybe our condition, Here's where it is coming to our foundation, that we may be in a condition to receive the humbleness and meekness. We look at that very intricate, wise recipe that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. If you look at His Beatitudes, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. He's given us very wise keys to how we'd have these things to come to pass. Depends on our condition, doesn't it? Let's turn, if you will, with me over into the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Verses 31 and 32. And you're going to find something very powerfully important. Very powerfully important. The Apostle Paul was very wise in giving in that the Lord had manifested these things also and allowed him to pen them down, and we may have them this day. I mean, there are much more in this chapter, once again, but just for the sake of brevity this day. Let's read verses 31 and 32. But to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you from all malice. To put something away with all malice takes an energy. It takes an energy and a thrust in order to put it out. To look for it, to try to identify it. It says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It doesn't. And we're not allowed that. We have to try to handle it. Lay it before the Lord. Put it before His throne of grace. Lord, help take this from me. Do not let me bring it into the body of Christ. Be ye kind one to another, and tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so what does that speak to us about? That if we can't forgive, which is the law of Christ. The law of forgiving is the law of Christ. It's Christ, for your sakes, has forgiven you. We cannot learn to forgive, which is one of the most basic in our foundation of Christian faith. If we haven't forgiven, guess what? We've hurt ourselves. We've brought separation. We've built up that wall of separation again that Jesus paid to tear down. We've put up that wall of separation. The Spirit will not move upon us when we have these strong... That's why he's telling these strong emotions. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking are strong emotions. And they do not allow the Spirit to move. Humbleness and meekness is where we are blessed. There are those that shall inherit the earth. Of course, when we're talking about some of the judgments that are coming upon the earth here at the last days, it's going to be quite charred and messed up. And I pray the Lord's refreshing, I suppose, upon it, that it may be fit for the habitation of His saints, of being tender-hearted. And that's what we're learning about, is trying to be tender-hearted, aren't we? Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Turn with me, if you will, back to Matthew in the 18th chapter. Matthew in the 18th chapter. Here we get into some of these matters, and we need to remember some of those recipes that we were learning about just shortly ago, don't we, in order to be able to rightly handle things that come. I'd like to read verses 15 through 17. It's Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. And he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And there is a very wise, intricate way that why he said that. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Keep that matter between you and him. that doesn't have to be made noise and abroad and go out for schism, go out for contention, go out for everyone's opinion, and so on and so forth. Handle it quietly and discreetly between you and your brother alone. That's the first step. Try intently in order to work it out that way. But if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Thou hast gained thy brother. But then he goes on and says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more than the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That if the matter is that serious, you may have to call upon a brother or sister in order to help in the matter. Once, the same thing. Try to do it quietly and discreetly, that it's not made known abroad. So everyone may look for everyone else's opinion, or everyone's attitude may start to shape. And there's such a thing that if the word can get out in the congregation, you and I know that we have faced the experiment where if one thing is said probably around this side of the room, maybe Vern has said something, and then he passed it to Joyce and to Rick, you know, and to Betsy, and so on and so forth. They got around this side of the room. You know, if Vern said, I'm wearing a black jacket, I'll bet you by the time he got over here that he's wearing a white polka-dotted jacket and he's wearing rabbit ears. Okay, you see what I'm saying? You see, but it means that things and details can also get changed, and all of a sudden, you know, a brother that someone says, that, well, so that this brother maybe even had a cold, and when he gets to this side, that brother's on death's door. Or something of the matter. Things change. You've got to be careful. There's a reason that Jesus said, handle it first between you and your brother alone. But if the thing, if it's a lot more serious than that, okay, then talk to someone else. But same thing. Keep it down. That things may be kept straight and handled correctly, and that your love may be maintained. Remember, these are brothers and sisters we're dealing with here. But if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and publican. That's where it got a little bit greater. The matter got a little bit greater than that. And when the original person basically told the others maybe to fly a kite. And it got a little more serious than that. Okay, then things get, you have to go to the ministry and so on and so forth. And the one in the beginning, if you had to pick someone else, you know, maybe go to your pastor, your assistant pastor, whatever the matter, and then to handle it. But there's a way of doing things, and for very wise reasons, isn't there? It's for a matter to be handled. Now take a look back, if you will, in the 18th chapter. I'd like to read verses 2 through 6. Jesus is talking about, and this is where they had brought little children to him. And he uses an example. We see the wise example of little children in our midst. And Jesus did this for very powerful reasons. And we know that we look at, I believe it's Mark 10:16 talks about, and he took him up into his arms, laid his hands upon him. He also blessed them. Didn't baptize them, but he blessed them, consecrated them unto his Father in heaven. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set them in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for them than a millstone hanged upon his neck that were drowned in the depths of the sea. Here we find how valuable little children are to the Lord. Another scripture talks about that they beheld the face of him, basically when they were still in heaven before they had come to earth. They beheld the face of him that sat upon the throne. And we find that how it was used as an example when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. How could you, a man, be born again and enter into his mother's womb the second time? He must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We find very workable materials, very supple material for the minds and the hearts of these little ones to be taught very importantly. there are things that you and I remember as little children that we may have thought. For whatever reasons, they were said or they were exampled or whatever. We remember them to this day, and we find that they weren't, maybe they weren't quite true. And no, that couldn't have been that way at all. Because we see how impressionable that we are. And we're still very impressionable today as God's children. And we need to try to verify many things. And we've got to be careful with some of the fabrications that are coming about in today's communities, even to the Christian communities. And the types of news that we even hear, even worldwide, even to the day in which we live, we've got to be careful what it is that we're taking a look at. We've seen so much white noise going on, we find, even with the television and this and that, and the type of nonsense that's going out there to help to shape the attitude even of the country that we live in. So we've got to be careful what it is that we hear, what it is that we believe. And so I'd like to read verse 10 says that, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." That's what I was talking about a little earlier. Despise not one of these little ones. It's how precious they are to our Heavenly Father. How precious they are to us. And what an example to always remind us of how it is the Lord sees us and how He would like us to kind of take a look at. What is the wise thing that He wants us to understand about that example of a little child? Let's go over, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Right there, verses 1 through 6. And here we have a situation. We were talking about a matter between brothers, but here we find that there are maybe even down into a legal matter, or matters that people thought they could go to a legal matter, and that things within the body of Christ should be handled within the body of Christ. And he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?" He's talking about the law not being being Christian, not being being spiritual, not being led wisely in the Spirit, not being led by the law of Christ, because the law of Christ is patterned after God's law. But the laws of the world, many of them are not patterned after the laws of Christ, and those that administer it as well. And we have a brother with us that's had prime example of those type of things, could tell us all sorts of testimonies, I'm sure. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." We find those that are spiritual, those that are wise, those that have been known to have maybe good counsel, those the Lord is working with. "Because I speak this to your shame, is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother go to law with brother, and that before the what, unbelievers?" Because wise counsel to take care of matters within the body of Christ, that God may rule. "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do ye rather take wrong? Why do ye rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Well, that's interesting and powerful advice. But the main thing he's trying to say is that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is supposed to rule in your congregation, in the body of Christ, and it's supposed to direct and to lead and to teach. And so if we had a matter, should not be handled also in the body of Christ. This is what the Lord is telling us. I'd like to go back, if you will, over into the book of Matthew in the 12th chapter. Matthew 12th chapter. read verses 35 through 37. And you find something very, once again, very, very powerful, very important, that if we look to the law of Christ, what he's telling us about, it kind of helps us know how to, even to, what to say, how it is things to do or not to do. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. For by their words I shall be justified, and by their words I shall be condemned. Have we ever thought to ourselves, before we may say something to a brother or a sister, how is it shall my words fall upon their ears? How is it shall... You know, matter of fact, James says that once come upon you fightings and wars, we find that words will create all these things. So how is it do our words fall upon the ears of a brother or sister? Does it wound them? Or is it a balm to them? Is it edification to them? Or is it provocation to them? You see? How do our words fall upon their ears? We might want to consider what it is, the things that we say. We say them. And so, with that, and if we look at matters that need to be handled, you see, they may be done more wisely. A matter may be handled rightly, but if it's presented in the wrong way and spoken the wrong way, it can blow it right out of the water. You know, in the Navy, Dad would tell me, you know, that one of the things that they learned, they talk about they would fire a shot over the bow of another ship in order to warn they were coming or to turn direction or warn them and so on and so forth. Or if the other shot could be fired right directly into the side. One is a warning, one is probably sink the ship, a lot of them. But, and so we find how important it is. Why it is that we send ambassadors to countries in order to avoid war, in order to work things out, so that things do not escalate. Just like that, maybe how the world condition is today. There are wars and there are certainly rumors of wars. And so a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Good man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so the things that we should say, and then things that truth may be what it is. And we should speak the truth everywhere and every place, as he says, when we do speak. But I still say that there are things that we know that could destroy this congregation, be they all spoken at one time, opinion or not, true or not, whatever the matter, but they were spoken, they were true to you. And there are things that I may know that no doesn't have a right to hear, because it may hurt them, and things that I need to withhold. They're true. And you know many true things. Many things that you hold within what's called discretion and discernment, knowing when. And that was one of the spiritual gifts, was discernment of spirits. Discernment and also in conversations. And preserving the feelings of a brother or sister. And there was one thing I wanted to, about things that we may say, you know, to one another, that if there are things that within a message, within a person's message, even recently, there are things that were discussed within a message given from the pulpit, and maybe one person had heard it one way, one person heard it another, or understood it another matter. But they have every right, once again, what the Scripture says, to go to you or that brother alone. Or if you heard a certain comment, even from the ministry, you have every right and should, within the law of Christ, to go to them alone and say, I heard this or I heard that. In the Spirit of Christ and out of the abundance of the heart, is this what you intended to mean, or was it not, or how did you intend that? Instead of, once again, noising it abroad, see, even by what is heard this day, if I have said something, and maybe you might be offended by it. I may not have meant it that way at all. But you should. In the body of Christ, come afterwards. Brother, did you mean it like this, or mean it like that, or how did you intend that? Of course, my best intentions are always, I'd rather take a whipping than to offend someone. And that is my testimony before you this day. There are hard things that the minister of the church, especially in the pastorship, would rather take a whipping than have to tell you. And that is the truth. Confrontation is not one of my strong points. But as a minister of Christ, if I can't, I'm no good to anyone. I'm no good to you. And so remember this, that you know I may be laboring with you in love. Treat me as a brother, because I got my feelings are sensitive too. And so that's my prayer for each and every one of you. But there's one other scripture that I'd like to read this day, and that is of course over in Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25. Actually, I'm going to read 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe that's the day of Christ. Of course, the day of Christ is for every man, at every day. And so I thank you for your time, for your patience, for your love, and for your prayers. Once again, let's continue to remember our the food pantry and our donations. Okay. We have an announcement needs to be read, and it says here, it says two by two or one by one, babies can be so much fun. Please join us for a baby shower in honor of Amanda Stratton and Heidi Jones, June 5th, immediately following church services. It's going to be a potluck. Both mommies to be are registered at Babies R Us, and Heidi is also registered at Bye Bye Baby. And so I assume it's probably for all the ladies. I'm sure they won't kick any of the men out for coming. Yeah. Okay. That's kind of cute, though. See that? That'll work on there and all the, you know. Pardon? Really?
Sure.
Uh-huh.